we present Great Balls of Fire and the seventh chapter in a nine-part musical essay on the 50s. Your host, Pete Myers.
This is great. This is great. Balls of Fire.
1956.
I'll tell you this, 1956 was a vintage classic here in the annals of pop music. A year of transition from the old to the new. So let's begin with the old guard, like Guy Mitchell, who began bowing out with his best-known record.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, dear. Why'd you do me this way? More like crying all night, 'cause everything's wrong and nothing ain't right without you. You got me singing the blues. The moon and stars no longer shine. The dream is gone I thought was mine. There's nothing left for me to do but cry over you. Should I go? 'Cause I couldn't stay without you. You got me singing the blues.
Originally recorded by Marty Robbins, Guy Mitchell's recording of Singing the Blues was to be his penultimate appearance in the charts. In 59, he would make it to number one for the last time with Heartaches by the Number. And after that, a special niche in the pre-rock Hall of Fame. You know, the high tide of rock and roll was all set to sweep aside the swooners and crooners of the early 50s by now. And that included the man who was dubbed the Sultan of Soul, the cry guy, the tear leader, Johnny Ray. Like Mitchell, Ray also had his penultimate hit in 56. Not singing, but walking in the rain.
Just walking in the rain.
Johnny Ray, who would have just one more chart success a year later with Yes Tonight, Josephine, and then virtually disappear from sight. He died in 1990. And the enduring public love affair with the next man, as far as hit parade material was concerned, ended in 56 with this song.
Your eyes are the eyes of a woman in love. And oh, how they give you way. Why try to deny you're a woman in love, when I know very well what they say? They say no moon in the sky ever lent such a glow. Some flame deep within made them shine. Those eyes are the eyes of a woman in love, and may they gaze evermore into mine. Crazily gaze evermore into mine.
In my book, one of the immortals of pop music, Frankie Lane, who got to number one in Britain with A Woman in Love. It was to be his last chart success. In that same year, the partnership of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis broke up. Martin began his solo career with a nice old-fashioned song. Love became his most famous.
Sweet, sweet memories you gave of me. You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Take sweet, sweet one fresh and tender me. Kiss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
Add sweet, sweet one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave of me.
I'll one girl, one boy. Some grief, some joy, memories are made of this.
The memories you gave me.
Don't forget a small moonbeam.
You can't beat the memories you gave me.
Fold in lightly with a dream.
You can't beat the memories you gave me.
Your lips and mine. Two sips of wine. Memories are made of this.
Laced with the sort of sentiment that would soon disappear, Dean Martin's Memories Are Made of This would be his last chart appearance in the 50s. And it was farewell also to the girl from Oklahoma, K-Star, who oddly enough bowed out with the first record to have rock and roll in its title. When she was handed the song to sing, she's reputed to have said,
"What is this? This is a nursery rhyme, not a song. What an insult to my intelligence."
That insult turned out to be her last and biggest hit.
There in the night, what a wonderful scene. Mom was dancing with Dad to my record machine. And while they danced, only one thing was wrong. They were trying to walk to a rock and roll song. A 1-2 and then rock. A 1-2 and then roll. A 1-2 and then jump. It's good for your soul. It's old but it's new. Let's do the rock and roll walk.
And with the rock and roll waltz, K-Star bowed out gracefully. Strangely enough, it was a good old-fashioned waltz that ended Doris Day's hit parade lifetime. She starred in a 56 movie by Alfred Hitchcock, The Man Who Knew Too Much. According to her contract, Miss Day had to sing a song in the picture. Hitchcock wasn't enamored by the idea, but a contract is a contract. So the studio turned to songwriters Ray Evans and Jay Livingston and asked if they had anything. They did. It was taken to Miss Day, who was furious, pronounced it childish, a kiddie song with no broad appeal. Reluctantly, she performed it in the movie. And to this day, that song can be heard daily on some radio station somewhere in the world.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, "What will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich?" Here's what she said to me. K-Star, Star, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. K-Star, Star, what will be. When I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, "What lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day?" Here's what my sweetheart said. K-Star, Star, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. K-Star, Star, what will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, "What will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich?"
tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Que sera, sera.
This is great, this is great, balls of fire.
'56.
I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done before. I'll never know what made it so exciting, why all at once my heart took flight. I only know when he began to dance with me, I could have danced, danced, danced.
The original My Fair Lady, Julie Andrews. That musical, the finest of the 50s, opened in 56 and ran for an incredible 6.5 years. It made Andrews a star, and the LP of the show was one of the big sellers of all time. However, off-Broadway, there was the show running that originated in Germany in 1928 and has since become one of the great works of modern musical theatre, the Kurzweil Bertolt Brecht masterpiece, The Threepenny Opera. One of the songs from the show was destined to become part of pop culture and got its first popular airing when Louis Armstrong took it on.
Dig, man, there goes Mac the Knife.
Old the shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them a pearly white, just a jackknife has Mac heat, dear, and he keeps it outside. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's Mackie, dear? So there's not a trace of red.
Mac the Knife, which demonstrated that at the age of 56, Satchmo was in his second prime, in the hit parade, touring Europe and Ghana, and appearing in a film that had wit, style, star appeal, and a marvelous score by Cole Porter.
Just dig that scenery floating by. We're now approaching Newport, Rhode Island. We've been for years in variety. Charlie Knickerbocker, now we're going to be in high, high, so high society. High Society.
High Society was the film that brought together two musical legends, Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby, and marked the final Hollywood appearance of Grace Kelly, soon to become Her Serene Highness of Monaco. She was no singer, but the love song she sang with Crosby in that picture went on to become a honeymooner's favorite.
For you and I have a God. To give to you and to give to me love forever true, love forever true.
Thank you.
Goodness great, this is great. Balls of fire.
1956.
Wop, bop, loo, mop, bop, bop, tootie, fruit. Oh, Rudy. Tootie, fruit. Woo, tootie, fruit, oh, Rudy. Tootie, fruit, oh, Rudy. Tootie, fruit, oh, Rudy. Wop, bop, loo, mop, bop, bop, bop. Got a gal named Sue. She knows just what to do. I got a gal named Sue. She knows just what to do. She brought me to the east, she brought me to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tootie fruit, oh Rudy. Tootie fruit, woo, tootie fruit, oh Rudy. Tootie fruit, oh Rudy. Tootie fruit, oh Rudy. A womp, bum, a loom, bum, 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 bum. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. I got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what you're doing to me. Tootie fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie fruity, woo. Tootie fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie fruity, oh Rudy. Oh, womp, bum, a loom, womp.
The clown prince of rock and roll himself, Little Richard, the performer who shattered the calm of Eisenhower's America, the man who laid bare the rebellious heart of rock and roll. Tutti Frutti was the first of his 7 million sellers, and the one that gave us the unforgettable phrase. Like I said at the beginning, this was the classic year, and out of Black America came a whole string of recordings that, in terms of physical excitement and energy, have never been equaled. Numbers that are the foundation blocks of pop culture. The year when Chuck Berry said,
well, I'm gonna write a little letter, I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. Yeah, it's a jumping little record I want my jockey to play. Roll over Beethoven, I gotta hear it again today. You know my temperature rising, the jukebox blowing a fuse. My heart beating rhythm and my soul keep a singing the blues. I roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news.
The man from Missouri, whose music would influence just about every key musician who emerged in the 60s and beyond, Chuck Berry, Roll Over Beethoven. And remember this. Thirteen-year-old Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the prototype of the Jackson Five. Lyman, unfortunately, was a one-hit wonder, who's remembered for that record and was dead at 25 from a drug overdose. You could say he was one of the first rock drug casualties. And then there was the spellbinding Ellis McDaniel, an innovator, better known as Bo Diddley.
He gonna take it to a private eye. If that private eye can't see, he better take the ring from me.
And just as the Southlands of the United States gave birth to the blues, it was also the region where rock and roll started. If there's anything the great black and white pioneers of rock and roll have in common, it was poverty. By the end of the decade, many would be millionaires, but beginning life on the poverty line meant that poor white boys shared the same sort of environment as the blacks, almost. Whites like Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Carl Perkins were all influenced by black musicians and always acknowledged it. But in absorbing black blues, they fused it with white country, and the result was rockabilly. The best example of this style is the man who never quite became a star, but who composed some of the best rock numbers of the 50s, a fabulous guitarist, the original man in the blue suede shoes, Carl Perkins.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show,
free to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. So knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place, and do anything you want to do, but ha, ah, baby, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on a blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Now let's rock, cat, go. My house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Do anything you wanna do, but ha, ah, baby, lay off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. All right, rock, cat, move. For the money, two for the show, free to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. Well, it's a blue, blue, blue suede shoe, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Do anything but lay off.
The Real McCoy, one of the all-time great records, Carl Perkins' Blue Suede Shoes. In April of 56, it got to number 4 in the U.S. charts and was on its way to the number 1 spot when Perkins' stablemate at the Sun Record Company in Memphis moved in and changed everything. Elvis Presley was signed on by a major record company, RCA. In January of 56, he recorded his first 5 songs on that label. To promote them, he appeared on a network TV show. The moment he stepped up to that mic and began his famous bump, grind, and shimmy routine, teenagers were electrified. On April the 3rd, he appeared on the Milton Berle Show, and it's estimated that a quarter of the American population tuned in to see this phenomenon from the South. On that show, he sang this song, and within days, it was number 1.
Well, since my baby left, will I find a new place to dwell? Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely. I'll be just so lonely. I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom. I'll be so, I'll be just so lonely, baby. I'll be just so lonely. I'll be so lonely, I'll make it die.
Man, the bellhop's tears keep flowing, and the desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, they've been so long. Well, if your baby leaves you, you got a tale to tell. Well, just take a walk down Lonely Street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be. Well, you'll be just a lonely baby. Well, you'll be lonely. You'll be so lonely, you could die.
Broken-hearted lovers to cry. I'll be just
so lonely, baby. Well, it's so lonely. It'll be so lonely they could die.
Heartbreak Hotel by the one-time truck driver who would turn rock and roll into a national teenage religion. After Heartbreak Hotel, the hits came fast and furious. In July, he was top of the charts again with I Want You, I Need You, I Love You, and irritating the hell out of his elders.
He may be kind to his parents, but that still isn't a free ticket to behave like a sex maniac in public. He can't last. I tell you flatly, he can't last.
Pronounced jazz musician Eddie Condon.
He's unfit for a family audience. I won't have him on my show,
said Ed Sullivan, who had the most influential TV show in America. By August, Presley Mania was sweeping America, and he was back at the top for the third time with a double-sided hit that stayed at number one for 11 weeks.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, a crying old time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, a crying all the time.
Please, please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want no other love, baby.
Don't be cruel and hound dog. And after that, Ed Sullivan ate crow and had Presley guest on his TV show. Only he insisted that the camera focus on the top half of his body, as that infamous pelvis could be too provocative. And it was. With Presley, rock and roll got its sexual image. The boy had talent. He could move. He was beautiful. Inevitably, Hollywood called. And while all those records were dominating the charts, he made his screen debut in a tedious Western movie, Love Me Tender, which set the pattern for the 30-odd films that would follow. Films that totally wasted his potential and were nothing more than a showcase for the songs he would sing in them. The first of these film songs would become his fourth number one of 1956, based on an American folk ballad that was written in 1861 called Aura Lee. Love Me Tender was the plea. And from that moment, the world's love affair with the man who gave teenagers their own musical identity began.
Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me dear, tell me you are mine. I'll be yours through all the years, till the end of time. Love me tender, love me true, dreams fulfill. For my darling, I love you, and I always will.
This is great, balls of fire!
And that was the seventh program in a 9-part musical essay on the 50s, written and produced by Pete Myers. Great Balls of Fire is a Radio Netherlands presentation.